so happy to have Suzanne Vega in the studio with us right this very second. There she is. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Welcome to Lexington. First time in town?
Oh, I don't think so. We were just discussing. In fact, he's over there nodding. Definitely not my first time in town.
Okay, but it is the first time with the full band.
Am I correct?
Yes, I think that's what we've been hearing, which is a good thing. We're very excited
about that.
You're going to be doing a whole range of songs from your whole career.
That's true.
And like I said, the show starts at 7 o'clock tonight. Ticket information available on our website, WKY.org. We're going to talk about your great new record, Beauty and Crime, in just a few minutes. But let's go ahead and hear a song from that record. What are you going to play for us, Suzanne?
I'm going to play New York is a Woman. And this is where I get the title from. New York City spread herself before you with her bangles and her spangles and her stars. You were impressed with a city so undressed and had to go out cruising all the bars. Your business trip extended through the weekend. Suburban boy here for your first time. From the 27th floor, above the midtown roar, you were startled by her beauty and her crime. And she's every girl you've seen in every movie. She's every dame you've ever known on late night TV. In her steam and steel is the passion you feel endlessly. New York is a woman, she'll make you cry. And to her, you're just another guy. Look down and see her ruined places. Smoke and ash still rising to the sky. She's happy that you're here, but when you disappear, she won't know that you're gone to say goodbye. New York is a woman, she'll make you cry. And to her, you're just another guy. And she's every girl you've seen in every movie. She's every dame you've ever known on late night TV. In her steam and steel is the passion you feel desperately. New York is a woman, she'll make you cry. And to her, you're just another guy.
Suzanne Vega on WUKY, NPR 91.3. She's going to be down at the Kentucky Theater with Teddy Thompson. Ticket information available on our website, WUKY.org. Show starts at 7 o'clock, so you might want to get there. Make sure you get yourself a good old seat. Suzanne, that's beautiful. It's about New York City.
Yeah.
New York is a woman. The whole record, Beauty and Crime, is about your hometown, which is a fantastic record. We're absolutely loving it. And this is your first record in, about 6 years?
6 years, yeah.
And it's not like you've been sitting around doing nothing.
No, it's true.
You've been pretty busy here. I'm just going to kind of go through a short list of things you've been doing. You're mm-hmm. subject of a documentary film called Some Journey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that hasn't been finished yet. So,
well, you're still working on that.
Yeah.
You hosted a memorial concert for your late brother
yes.
back in 2002, Timothy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Performed with Bill Frisell at the Century of Song concerts in Germany.
That was great.
Pretty hefty stuff. Hosted the American Public Media series, American Mavericks, which won a Peabody Award. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Played a huge gig in Central Park last year. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Did you draw a small crowd there?
We drew a big crowd. Well, it was the cause that drew the crowd, actually.
Excellent. What was that?
It was to raise awareness about Darfur, what's happening there.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. And this is interesting. You played live in the online game Second Life.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the first artist of many to do so.
Yeah.
So you stayed a little bit busy with that. Okay. You got married, for goodness sakes.
Yes.
Talk about taking up some time.
Uh-huh.
And you changed record labels. Now, amongst all these different things.
And managers too. Right?
Okay. Okay. Amongst all these different things, you found it possible to write songs for this new record. I'm guessing that all of these things were really more inspiration for a new record, sort of the muse for behind the record. Am I right there?
Well, real life tends to be the muse. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to have a concept, but it's something else to be confronted with real life every day. So that's there's a fair amount of actual life that leaks into the records.
But it is about New York City.
Yeah, I'd say four songs that are directly about New York City, and the others are sort of kind of under the umbrella of New York City. You know, a song like Pornographer's Dream, I mean, I suppose could be about any place, but it does seem to kind of fit in New York, and it also fits a record called Beauty and Crime.
Zephyr and I, it's one of the songs that you've been hearing a lot on WUKY. It's about a graffiti artist.
Yeah.
From New York City.
We just saw last night, yeah, although he's moved down to Georgia.
we've been hearing that a lot. Tell us a little bit behind that story.
Zephyr is a graffiti artist who's been around. The first time I remember seeing his work was probably in the 70s and 80s. Very influential in my household because my two brothers just loved his work and would try and replicate it all over their notebooks, all over their papers, all over everything. So I grew up with his name not only on the walls of my city, but in my house as well. And I didn't actually get to meet him until a few years ago. My brother Tim had been, you know, really worshipped him as an artist. And so I met Zephyr for the first time after his funeral. And the two of us had this conversation standing on West End Avenue in New York City looking south. And I kind of realized that Zephyr had the same image of West End Avenue that I had growing up, which was kind of a fascinating little moment there. So that's what that song is about. It's a little snapshot of West End Avenue, what it used to be like in the 70s.
Which neighborhood did you grow up in?
I grew up in a bunch of neighborhoods. I mean, I have lived in a bunch of neighborhoods, but I lived in East Harlem for 5 years and then the Upper West Side for 15.
Your parents, your mom and your stepdad listen to music all the time, a wide variety.
Yeah.
I find this real interesting. The first gig you ever did was at Carnegie Hall at the age of 12, and Pete Seeger was on the stage that night.
Yes.
Amazing.
It is kind of
what
amazing.
A way to start.
You know, to think about it, it really is. I have to remind myself that sometimes. He had come to our school because he was doing a benefit for our school, which was an experimental children's school on the Upper West Side. And he came to the school. He was looking for a handful of kids to sit at his feet at Carnegie Hall. And I stood right near him and sang Guantanamera as loud as I could right into his face. And he picked me, and I was thrilled. And that was my first time on the stage.
But I understand it was Lou Reed who really caught your interest when it comes to writing songs, get you interested in performing. Is that correct?
Well, he was the first actual live performer I had seen. You know, I didn't get out much as a teenager. I didn't go on a lot of dates. I spent a lot of time babysitting and writing songs. So finally, when I did venture out, this must have been my second or third date ever.
And the guy
took
you to a Lou Reed
concert. And I was like, what is this? but I'd heard Walk on the Wild Side.
A lot of people say that when they see Lou, you know.
Especially at that era of Lou,
right.
I mean, since then he can, you know, he's a variety of moods, as I'm sure you're aware. But the storytelling of what he was doing stuck with me for days and days after that. At first, I wasn't sure if I liked him, but then afterwards there were quite a few songs that stuck with me, and I started to listen to him carefully and seriously and, you know, in depth.
You know, when the song that everybody thinks of, well, there's actually a couple of songs, but the first one that comes to mind is Luca.
Mm-hmm.
When that song came out, everybody thought, well, this woman must have like all kinds of causes that she's involved with. She's got she's got something that she wants to tell us about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that was really what was happening, that you were being labeled as an activist? And if so, what were you active in at the time?
Actually, I was not I didn't consider myself an activist at that time. I had a long discussion with my manager at that point about social causes. In fact, he heard that song and he said, "That's a song about child abuse, isn't it?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And he said, I think that song could be really successful because I think because of the message. And I said, are you kidding me? I mean, nobody wants to hear a song about child abuse. And I had my doubts. And we had a big argument about whether songs actually change anything. And he was very passionate about, you know, he was of that generation that felt that music changed. Music helped to end the Vietnam War, as far as he was concerned. And he did not share my cynical view, fortunately for me. So we chose that song, we produced it as a single and released it as a single, and yes, it was very successful.
In spite of what you may have been thinking when you were writing the song,
I thought of it as a private song about a private thing. But actually, since then, the cause that I've become associated with is human rights. Before 1987, I would say I'd never heard of that phrase. And then Amnesty International approached me, I guess it must have been 1986, and they were preparing their Human Rights Now tour. And I suddenly discovered this whole world of activism that I felt connected to. And so that's been my main cause since then.
Direct our listeners to a website if they want to get involved with human rights, maybe helping out folks in Darfur.
There's a few websites to check out. I mean, there's a lot of them. So you should go to the website and you can Google human rights. You can Google Amnesty International. You can Google Darfur, Save Darfur. There's a lot of, it's not just Amnesty anymore. There's really quite a variety of places.
Well, there's more to Suzanne Vega than serious messages. Lots of fun facts about Suzanne Vega. Listen to this, okay? Listen to this.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. Ah!
Of course, that was the voice of Homer from The Simpsons. Mm. And who could not recognize that voice?
Oh, absolutely.
You have become sort of an icon. This is amazing what has happened to you. What a charmed life you're leading. Did you ever expect that these things would happen to you? You've been mentioned in one way or another in The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. A Pulp Fiction, mm-hmm. For God's sakes.
That's a great little scene, I must
no
say.
No kidding. Well, the whole movie, I mean. Space Ghost, the cartoon. You're mentioned in Space Ghost. That's right. Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's
one, yes.
Just so what do you think about all of these things? Did you ever expect, I mean, I know that the fame and the popularity is one thing, but to be thrown into all kinds of venues like this, what does it make you think?
Well, I'm tickled, really. The thing that I like about it is that my name is sort of out there twinkling away, but nobody really knows me. You know, I can walk down the street in any city and most of the time, and people are either don't know who I am, don't know what I look like, or are not sure. You know, maybe they think I might be somebody, but they can't figure out if it's, Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City, or whether Molly Ringwald, or, you know, I've been called a lot of people. So it's an interesting way of, interesting kind of fame, I guess, if you want to call it that.
So when the creators of The Simpsons called you up and said, we want to use your song in one of our episodes, what'd you say?
I said, yes, thanks. I get 2 cents every time it's played. Well, I also was watching to see if it was a parody.
What about
you? I was watching to see if it, is this a joke? Are they making fun of it? And I felt that it was straight ahead enough to approve it. Because the real jokey ones, I don't let them do it. Not with Luca.
You've been referred to as the mother of the MP3.
Mm-hmm.
What's the story behind that?
Well, the story behind that is that Karl-Heinz Brandenburg, who's one of the creators of the MP3, father of the MP3, if you will, apparently heard Tom's Diner back when it was part of the Solitude Standing record, before it was remixed. And used it to refine the MP3. They had, you know, this thing that they were calling the MP3. They thought they had created it to the point where you could run a human voice through it and it would recreate it perfectly. But they found that when they ran Tom's Diner through it, that it had all these dark, distorted shadows all over it. In fact, I heard this a few months ago. I went to the Fraunhofer Institute and they actually showed me. They played Tom's Diner in its original form and then what they thought they had with the MP3. And it sounded terrible. It's like all these dreadful distortions. And so they kept running Tom's Diner through the MP3 for several months until it recreated nearly perfectly. They say it recreates it perfectly. I kind of, when I hear it, I think that it has a little more high end and it takes off some of the bottom end. But they argued with me and said, no, it's perfect replication.
Once again, leading the charm life, involved with the beginning of the MP3 explosion.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about downloading?
Well, I have mixed feelings. You know, I download all the time myself, but I download from iTunes.
Good, you know,
for I pay
you.
My 99 cents. I don't see why not. But I also do. I also do a fair amount of work for advocacy for NARIS, the Recording Academy, and as part of that, I go talk to kids in school. And a lot of them just do not care about the copyright laws. To them, it's like 99 cents is a meal, and they would rather have a meal than pay to download the song. That's their honest, truthful point of view. So I think people have to be educated. You know, I think once you're older and, you know, you really should pay for it. You know, the copyright laws have to be upheld. You can't
Absolutely.
Have this Wild West mentality. But so we are in the middle of this sort of weird revolution as far as music and music distribution is concerned. So I have mixed feelings because I do love the MP3s. I've got an iPod and I carry stuff around on my computer and I'm always working with this and that. So
what are you listening to?
Well, actually, I've discovered Teddy Thompson on this album, on this
Good.
Tour because he's been opening for me. So
what a great new record from him.
Yeah, it's great. And then I discovered his previous one too, which is really, really terrific. So I've been listening to him and I've been listening to Amy Winehouse,
mm-hmm.
who I like very much.
Yeah.
And sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
It's okay.
Suddenly I'm like, hey.
Yeah, you know, it's so easy to just put it on shuffle and not really care about what's coming up next, you know?
Mm.
So that's okay.
Well, I've been following the career of Danger Mouse as a...
Really?
Yeah, because he did a remix back in 2004 of Tom's Diner. He did like the 37th remix of Tom's
yeah.
Diner or something. So
I mean, there's a whole record that you put out.
Yeah,
of
I could actually
of
have put
Steiner.
Out two or three, but no one wants to do the administration. So,
well, what do you say we hear the original version? Can you sing that for us?
Yeah, sure.
It's going to be Tom's Diner. It's Suzanne Vega here on WUKY.
All right. I am sitting in the morning at the diner on the corner. I am waiting at the counter for the man to pour the coffee, and he fills it only halfway, and before I even argue, he is looking out the window at somebody coming in. It is always nice to see you, says the man behind the counter to the woman who has come in. She is shaking her umbrella, and I look the other way as they are kissing their hellos, and I'm pretending not to see them, and instead I pour the milk. I open up the paper. There's a story of an actor who had died while he was drinking. It was no one I had heard of. And I'm turning to the horoscope and looking for the funnies when I'm feeling someone watching me. And so I raise my head. There's a woman on the outside looking inside. Does she see me? No, she does not really see me because she sees her own reflection, trying not to notice that she's itching up her skirt, and while she's straightening her stockings, her hair has gotten wet. Oh, this rain, it will continue through the morning as I'm listening to the bells of the cathedral. I am thinking of your voice and of the midnight picnic once upon a time before the rain began. And I finish up my coffee and it's time to catch the train.
Suzanne Vega. The original version, a cappella, Tom's Diner, and it's here on WUKY. You can see her with the full band down at the Kentucky Theater. Teddy Thompson's going to open up for her. You can find out about tickets on our website, WUKY.org. Keep up the good work, Suzanne.
Thanks so much.
We love you, and we hope you come back soon, okay?
Well, I will. Thank you.
The Tonic theme was written and performed by Melanie Johnson.